Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 14. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earn 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I've earned 5 more." The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." The servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more." The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant, and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it." Then he ordered, "Take the money from the servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Verses 14 through 29, Matthew chapter 25. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the wisdom and the counsel of your word. Thank you for the guidance of your word. Thank you for the salvation that is ours through your word. Thank you for the many ways that as we read and meditate in your word, you reach into us and mold us and shape us to become more and more like you. And also, Father, by your spirit and your word, you teach us and empower us to be wise stewards of all you've entrusted to us. Father, anoint us all afresh with the spirit of grace that would encourage us to maximize the moments of our lives, to maximize the opportunities and the abilities you've entrusted to us. And help us to know, Lord, that there's no time to waste in this lifetime. Our job is to be as productive and fruitful for you and your kingdom as we possibly can be. And thank you for your Holy Spirit who teaches, trains, and helps us to do just that and to live that way. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for your good gifts. Thank you so much for your gift of love and how you don't just love indirectly, but Father, you came down in the form of a man. Father, you sent your Holy Spirit. Father, you are present with us. You speak to us through Scripture. You speak to us when we pray and when we listen. And so, Father, thank you so much for these moments. Help us to just sit undistracted, focused on your presence, focused on spending time with you, the one who is love himself. Thank you so much, Heavenly Father. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. You know, if you're a regular listener to the Hour of Intercession, you may know that we pretty much often put emphasis on the importance of reading the Word of God. And to be very honest with you, that's something we are not able to overemphasize. The fact is, Jesus is the Word of God, and the Word of God is Jesus. And Jesus is the key to everything in life, absolutely everything. He's the foundation to everything in life. And so being a student of Scripture is much more important than I think so many of us grasp. How important it is that we are diligent students of God's Word, believers who read the Word. And, you know, I pretty regularly challenge a goal of reading at least 3 chapters in the Bible every day. But to be very honest with you, one of my hopes and encouragements to you is that you'll go well beyond that goal as a believer. Because the fact is, in a 24-hour day, we can cover a whole lot more ground in reading and studying Scripture and or listening to it through audio Scripture. Much more than that. So my encouragement to you is that make it your goal to fill your life with the Word of God. Because as you fill your life with the Word of God, you're filling your life with grace and peace and joy and strength. Again, Jesus is the key to everything in life. So as you read the Word of God, you're spending time with Jesus. He's spending time with you. And he's molding and shaping you. As you're reading the Word of God, he's reading and working on you as well. In some wonderful, wonderful ways. So we hope that you will do that. You know, as we've continued to share about our Ten Commandments project, that's a one more way whereby through this, it is, of course, a youth discipleship project, but it's one of its goals is to help you to help plant the Word of God in the hearts and the minds of our children. And another side of that is to encourage them to live according to the wisdom and the counsel of God's wonderful, wonderful Word. So the Ten Commandments Project, of course, is underway actually all year long. But in particular, the speech challenge portion of the project got underway June 1st, goes through from June the 1st to the 30th. And we're asking each participant, young person that wishes to participate, to write a speech on the first commandment, "You shall have no other gods before me," found in Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. We suggest it be 3 to 5 minutes, but it can be any length you choose to make it. And we ask that you record it on your cell phone or any other recording device. And you can send the recording to one of these 2 email addresses, faq@afa.net or jparker@afa.net. And just in the subject line, put Ten Commandments Project Speech Challenge 2025 or something to that effect. And keep in mind, the young person, the youth can write it themselves, or they can get help from dad or mom or someone else. Or if you're in a position where you need help, you're welcome to give us a call here at American Family Radio. And if you need us to help you with your speech, we'll be glad to do that as well. Our number is 662-844-5036, extension 381. Or if you're just wanting more information about the Ten Commandments Project, again, email us, again, faq@afa.net or jparker@afa.net. We'll be glad to try to answer and respond to any and all of your questions. But again, it's a great project to help plant God's powerful Word in the hearts and the minds of our children, as well as a means whereby we can disciple them as well. I'm going to take time now to share an article that we've written on the AFA stand. It's entitled, "The Bible, Autobiography of God." Again, the Bible, the autobiography of God. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." Then the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. Then Psalm 119, verse 105. "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." The Bible is the book of all books. It's the only book in the world authored by God. He used around 40 or so secretaries or scribes to write it, but it is God's book, but also it's our book as well. The Bible is many things. Amongst other things, it's an autobiography. It's a book by God about Himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Everything in God's Word points to Him. From Genesis to Revelation, it all points the world to Him, the God who is love, the God who is almighty, the creator of the universe, the God who is King of kings and Lord of lords. God's Word is the best-selling book in the world by far, and it's been the best-selling book every year for many years, and it's the most read book in the whole world. It seems that the one book in the world authored by the creator of the universe, a book by Him, about Him, should be the bestseller in the world. How is the Bible an autobiography? Consider the following truths. God is the Father, Jehovah. He is the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Word of God. Every word in the Word of God is Jesus, and He is found in every word. You find Christ in every book of the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, Christ is in every book. Each book is the mind of Christ, the counsel of Christ, the wisdom of Christ, and the heart of Christ. So the whole Bible is about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus and God the Father are one. John 10:30. Consider the following. Genesis is the first book in the Bible. God introduces Himself in Genesis. Genesis is 50 chapters. It contains four key events: creation, the fall, the flood, and the scattering of nations. It also tells us about four key characters in Genesis: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Early in Genesis, we learn that God calls His people to trust Him and to live by faith in Him and in His Word. This message continues throughout the rest of the Bible. In the other 65 books, the just shall live by faith. When men and women trust and obey God, they are blessed as a result. When they disobey Him and choose not to trust Him, they always lose. What then is faith? Faith is trusting and believing God and His Word. And from Genesis to Revelation, God rewards those who trust Him and His Word, and He judges those who choose not to trust Him. So the Bible is truly the autobiography of God. In it, we come to know God, His wisdom, and His ways and His character. Wise people will come to know Christ and will become diligent, faithful students of His Word. Today is a good day to start the journey into His Word. That's the journey to get to know your God, your Heavenly Father. For salvation, if you're someone who's never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is a good day to be saved. And we invite you to make that step of inviting Jesus Christ to come into your heart, to hear, to receive Him as Lord and Savior of your life. And keep in mind there a number of important, excellent reasons to read the Word daily. Number one, it tells you genuinely how to be saved and how to grow up in your faith. Number two, gives you clear guidance and direction for much of your life. A third reason to read the Word daily, it empowers your prayer life. Number four, it sharpens your ability to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit more clearly in your life. Number five, reading the Word daily ministers to your mind, body, and spirit. Six, it helps you maintain your mental health. Seven, it increases God's anointing on every area of your life. Eight, it increases your wisdom in every area of your life. Nine, it enhances your intellect and your personality. And 10, reading the Word daily pours grace, peace, joy, and joy into your spirit, your mind, and your life. And in direct statement or in principle, God's Word gives you guidance and or direction about every issue or topic or matter in all of life. Again, the title of that article, The Bible, Autobiography of God. We'll be right back.
Call it a reason to retreat. I got some dreams that are bigger than me. I might be outmatched, outsized, the underdog in the fight of my life. Is it so crazy to believe that you gave me the stars, put them out of my reach? Call me to
the strength to do. In over my head keeps me counting on you. I'm leaving the sweet spot, sure shot, trading it all for the plans you got. Is this so crazy to believe that you gave me the stars, get them out of my reach? Call me the waters a little too deep. Oh, I've never been so aware of my need. Yeah, you keep on making me see it's way beyond me. It's way beyond me.
Yeah, it's out of my league. The music of Toby Mac with Beyond Me. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We pick up now reading through the Word of God in the book of Job, Job chapter 34, beginning at verse 1. Then Elihu said, "Listen to me, you wise men. Pay attention, you who have knowledge." Job said, "The ear tests the word it's the ear tests the words it hears, just as the mouth distinguishes between foods. So let us discern for ourselves what is right. Let us learn together what is good. For Job also said, 'I am innocent, but God has taken away my rights. I am innocent, but they call me a liar. My suffering is incurable, though I have not sinned.' Tell me, has there ever been a man like Job with his thirst for irreverent talk? With his thirst for irreverent talk, he chooses evil people as companions. He spends his time with wicked men. He has even said, 'Why waste time trying to please God?' Listen to me, you who have understanding. Everyone knows that God doesn't sin. The Almighty can do no wrong. He repays people according to their deeds. He treats people as they deserve. Truly, God will not do wrong. The Almighty will not twist justice. Did someone else put the world in his care? Who set the whole world in place? If God were to take back his spirit and withdraw his breath, all life would cease, and humanity would turn again to dust. Now listen to me, if you are wise. Pay attention to what I say. Could God govern if he hated justice? Are you going to condemn the Almighty Judge? For he says to kings, 'You are wicked,' and to nobles, 'You are unjust.' He doesn't care how great a person may be, and he pays no more attention to the rich than to the poor. He made them all. In a moment they die. In the middle of the night they pass away. The mighty are removed without human hand. For God watches how people live. He sees everything they do. No darkness is thick enough to hide the wicked from his eyes. We don't set the time when we come before God in judgment. He brings the mighty to ruin without asking anyone, and he sets up others in their place. He knows what they do, and in the night he overturns and destroys them. He strikes them down because they are wicked, doing it openly for all to see. For they turned away from following him. They have no respect for any of his ways. They cause the poor to cry out, catching God's attention. He hears the cries of the needy. But if he chooses to remain quiet, who can criticize him? When he hides his face, no one can find him, whether an individual or a nation. He prevents the godless from ruling, so they cannot be a snare to the people. Why don't people say to God, 'I have sinned, but I will sin no more'? Or, 'I don't know what evil I have done. Tell me. If I have done wrong, I will stop at once.' Must God tailor his justice to your demands, but you have rejected him. The choice is yours, not mine. Go ahead, share your wisdom with us. After all, bright people will tell me, and wise people will hear me say, Job speaks out of ignorance. His words lack insight. Job, you deserve the maximum penalty for the wicked way you have talked. For you have added rebellion to your sin. You show no respect, and you speak many angry words against God. Job chapter 35. Then Elihu said, Do you think it is right for you to claim, I am righteous before God? For you also ask, What's in it for me? What's the use of living a righteous life? I will answer you and all your friends too. Look up into the sky and see the clouds high above you. If you sin, how does that affect God? Even if you sin again and again, what effect will it have on him? If you are good, is this some great gift to him? What could you possibly give him? No, your sins affect only people like yourself, and your good deeds also affect only humans. People cry out when they are oppressed. They groan beneath the power of the mighty. Yet they don't ask, Where is God my Creator, the one who gives songs in the night? Where is the one who makes us smarter than the animals and wiser than the birds of the sky? And when they cry out, God does not answer because of their pride. But it is wrong to say God doesn't listen, to say the Almighty isn't concerned. You say you can't see him, but he will bring justice if you will only wait. You say he does not respond to sinners with anger and is not greatly concerned about wickedness. But you are talking nonsense, Job. You have spoken like a fool. Job chapter 36. Elihu continued speaking. Let me go on, and I will show you the truth, for I have not finished defending God. I will present profound arguments for the righteousness of my Creator. I am telling you nothing but the truth, for I am a man of great knowledge. God is mighty, but he does not despise anyone. He is mighty in both power and understanding. He does not let the wicked live, but gives justice to the afflicted. He never takes his eyes off the innocent, but he sets them on thrones with kings and exalts them forever. If they are bound in chains and caught up in a web of trouble, he shows them the reason. He shows them their sins of pride. He gets their attention and commands that they turn from evil. If they listen and obey God, they will be blessed with prosperity throughout their lives. All their years will be pleasant. But if they refuse to listen to him, they will cross over the river of death, dying from lack of understanding. For the godless are full of resentment. Even when he punishes them, they refuse to cry out to him for help. They die when they are young, after wasting their lives in immoral living. But by means of their suffering, he rescues those who suffer. He gets their attention through adversity. God is leading you away from danger, Job, to a place free from distress. He is setting your table with the best food. But you are obsessed with whether the godless will be judged. Don't worry, judgment and justice will be upheld. But watch out, or you may be seduced by wealth. Don't let yourself be bribed into sin. Could all your wealth or all your mighty efforts keep you from distress? Do not long for the cover of night, for that is when people will be destroyed. So be on guard. Turn back from evil, for God sent this suffering to keep you from a life of evil. Look, God is all-powerful. Who is a teacher like him? No one can tell him what to do or say to him, you have done wrong. Instead, glorify his mighty works, singing songs of praise. Everyone has seen these things, though only from a distance. Look, God is greater than we can understand. His years cannot be counted. He draws up the water vapor and then distills it into rain. The rain pours down from the clouds, and everyone benefits. Who can understand the spreading of the clouds and the thunder that rolls forth from heaven? See how he spreads the lightning around him and how it lights up the depths of the sea. By these mighty acts, he nourishes the people, giving them food in abundance. He fills his hands with lightning bolts and hurls each at its target. The thunder announces his presence. The storm announces his indignant anger. Job chapter 37. My heart pounds as I think of this. It trembles within me. Listen carefully to the thunder of God's voice as it rolls from his mouth. It rolls across the heavens, and his lightning flashes in every direction. Then comes the roaring of the thunder, the tremendous voice of his majesty. He does not restrain it when he speaks. God's voice is glorious in the thunder. We can't even imagine the greatness of his power. He directs the snow to fall on the earth and tells the rain to pour down. Then everyone stops working so they can watch his power. The wild animals take cover and stay inside their dens. The stormy wind comes from its chamber, and the driving winds bring the cold. God's breath sends the ice, freezing wide expanses of water. He loads the clouds with moisture, and they flash with his lightning. The clouds churn about at his direction. They do whatever he commands throughout the earth. He makes these things happen either to punish people or to show his unfailing love. Pay attention to this, Job. Stop and consider the wonderful miracles of God. Do you know how God controls the storm and causes the lightning to flash from his clouds? Do you understand how he moves the clouds with wonderful perfection and skill? When you are sweltering in your clothes and the south wind dies down and everything is still, he makes the skies reflect the heat like a bronze mirror. Can you do that? So teach the rest of us what to say to God. We are too ignorant to make our own arguments. Should God be notified that I want to speak? Can people even speak when they are confused? We cannot look at the sun, for it shines brightly in the sky. When the wind clears away the clouds, so also golden splendor comes from the mountain of God. He is clothed in dazzling splendor. We cannot imagine the power of the Almighty, but even though he is just and righteous, he does not destroy us. No wonder people everywhere fear him. all who are wise show him reverence. End of Job chapter 37. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we've been reading through the Word of God. Lord, thank you for the privilege and the blessing that is ours to read your Word every single day. And thank you, Lord, for the fact that as we read and meditate on your Word, you're speaking words of wisdom, power, grace, and life. Empower each of us to become much more faithful hearers and doers of your Word, and help us as parents to be wise enough to teach and train our children to read the Word daily, having them to read three chapters aloud to us daily as a wise goal in our homes. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back. Amanda Lindsay Cook with Still. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We continue now reading through the Word of God as we pick up in the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, beginning at verse 12. The next morning, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. He noticed a fig tree in full leaf a little way off, so he went over to see if he could find any figs. But there were only leaves because it was too early in the season for fruit. Then Jesus said to the tree, "May no one ever eat your fruit again." And the disciples heard him say it. When they arrived back in Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out the people buying and selling animals for sacrifices. He knocked over the tables of the money changers and the chairs of those selling doves, and he stopped everyone from using the temple as a marketplace. He said to them, The scriptures declare, my temple will be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have turned it into a den of thieves. When the leading priests and teachers of religious law heard what Jesus had done, they began planning how to kill him. But they were afraid of him because the people were so amazed at his teaching. That evening, Jesus and the disciples left the city. The next morning, as they passed by the fig tree he had cursed, the disciples noticed it had withered from the roots up. Peter remembered what Jesus had said to the tree on the previous day and exclaimed, "Look, Rabbi, The fig tree you cursed has withered and died. Then Jesus said to the disciples, have faith in God. I tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. Again they entered Jerusalem. As Jesus was walking through the temple area, the leading priests, the teachers of religious law, and the elders came up to him. They demanded, by what authority are you doing all these things? Who gave you the right to do them? I'll tell you by what authority I do these things if you answer one question, Jesus replied. Did John's authority to baptize come from heaven, or was it merely human? Answer me. They talked it over among themselves. If we say it was from heaven, he will ask why we didn't believe John. But do we dare say it was merely human? For they were afraid of what the people would do, because everyone believed that John was a prophet. So they finally replied, we don't know. And Jesus responded, then I won't tell you by what authority I do these things. Mark chapter 12. Then Jesus began teaching them with stories. A man planted a vineyard. He built a wall around it, dug a pit for pressing out the grape juice, and built a lookout tower. Then he leased the vineyard to tenant farmers and moved to another country. At the time of the grape harvest, he sent one of his servants to collect his share of the crop. But the farmers grabbed the servant, beat him up, and sent him back empty-handed. The owner then sent another servant, but they insulted him and beat him over the head. The next servant he sent was killed. Others he sent were either beaten or killed until there was only one left, his son, whom he loved dearly. The owner finally sent him, thinking, surely they will respect my son. But the tenant farmers said to one another, here comes the heir to this estate. Let's kill him and get the estate for ourselves. So they grabbed him and murdered him and threw his body out of the vineyard. What do you suppose the owner of the vineyard will do? Jesus asked. I'll tell you, he will come and kill those farmers and lease the vineyard to others. Didn't you ever read this in the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is wonderful to see. The religious leaders wanted to arrest Jesus because they realized he was telling the story against them. They were the wicked farmers, but they were afraid of the crowd. So they left him and went away. Later, the leaders sent some Pharisees and supporters of Herod to trap Jesus into saying something for which he could be arrested. Teacher, they said, we know how honest you are. You are impartial and don't play favorites. You teach the way of God truthfully. Now tell us, is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Should we pay them or shouldn't we? Jesus saw through their hypocrisy and said, why are you trying to trap me? Show me a Roman coin, and I'll tell you. When they handed it to him, he asked, whose picture and title are stamped on it? Caesar's, they replied. Well then, Jesus said, Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God. His reply completely amazed them. Then Jesus was approached by some Sadducees, religious leaders who say there's no resurrection from the dead. They posed this question: Teacher, Moses gave us a law that if a man dies, leaving a wife without children, his brother should marry the widow and have a child who will carry on the brother's name. Well, suppose there were seven brothers. The oldest one married and then died without children. So the second brother married the widow, but he also died without children. Then the third brother married her. This continued with all seven of them, and still there were no children. Last of all, the woman also died. So tell us, whose wife will she be in the resurrection? For all seven were married to her. Jesus replied, Your mistake is that you don't know the scriptures and you don't know the power of God. For when the dead rise, they will neither marry nor be given in marriage. In this respect, they will be like the angels in heaven. But now, as to whether the dead will be raised, haven't you ever read about this in the writings of Moses, in the story of the burning bush? Long after Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had died, God said to Moses, I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. So he is the God of the living, not the dead. You have made a serious error. One of the teachers of religious law was standing there listening to the debate. He realized that Jesus had answered well. So he asked, Of all the commandments, which is the most important? Jesus replied, The most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. The teacher of religious law replied, Well said, teacher. You have spoken the truth by saying that there is only one God and no other. And I know it is important to love him with all my heart and my understanding and all my strength, and to love my neighbor as myself. This is more important than to offer all of the burnt offerings and sacrifices required to the law. Realizing how much the man understood, Jesus said to him, You are not far from the kingdom of God. And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. Through verse 34. Mark chapter 12. Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you for the chance for us to read your word daily. Anoint us all afresh with the spirit of grace, with an anointing that would encourage us to become more diligent students of your word, students who read and meditate on your word and who fill our lives with your word each and every day. Help us to be wise enough to not only read and study it daily, but help us to get forms of audio Bibles where we can listen as we go and do other things as well. And guide us in teaching and training our children to fill their hearts with your word daily as well. And thank you for the opportunity to help them to do just that daily as well. In Jesus' name, amen. As we normally do, before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you know you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, you've never asked Christ to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior and make you brand new, today is a great day, a wonderful day to make that step. If you'd like to give your life to Christ and be saved today, would you from your heart pray this prayer with us right now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving us so much. You came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to pray daily. Help me to obey you daily. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and gave your life to Christ, we definitely want to be in touch with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please email us. Let us know that you made that step in your life. And we'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please do get in touch. We definitely would like to do that. Again, joseph@afr.net. If you wanted to get a copy of the article that we shared earlier, the article, The Bible, The Autobiography of God, same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.